recording this broadcast of On the Brink Radio in my very, very, very favorite place to be on this island, Aotea, Great Barrier Island, New Zealand. But it's my very favorite campsite in the whole world. Not that there aren't other cool ones, but this is just a very special place. And it's so inspiring for me to be here, and so healing and empowering. And my radio show is called On the Brink, and it's meant to sound heavy because we are on the brink of many things. But if you look into sort of what I've always intended to be, the conceptuality and the psychology behind the concept of the brink, it's not necessarily a negative thing. The brink implies an edge that we don't have to fall off of it. It can be the edge of the horizon. That's the limit of what you can see when you're navigating, like on your sailboat through the cosmos.
Oh, Effiops, that was such a beautiful song. That's the most beautiful flute I've ever heard. Thank you for that.
It could be the edge of the earth. It could be the distant limits of our memory. The brink is not just a physical precipice that we can fall off of or be pushed over or go off the edge like lemmings, like it seems with military-industrial civilization. The theme that I tend to talk about more than anything else on my show. But I get a bit weary of it sometimes, and just camping out last night with Grandmother Pahutakau here has really made me feel that I just feel like doing a show in honor of the importance of gratitude, the importance of giving thanks, and for to take around and look at everything that I have to be thankful for, and the beauty and power of being here now, and that we all have so much to be thankful for, that if we actually start categorizing what we have to be thankful for, it would dwarf. It would reduce to astronomical invisibility anything that we are constantly and chronically complaining or worried or stressed out about. And that's what I'm going to do this show today, in honor of my own spirit of gratitude that's really huge. It's huge in me. And I'm always giving thanks to Mother Earth and my friends for making me possible and everything. But I just want to say that I saw something on Facebook a few weeks ago. It said a grateful heart is a magnet for miracles. And I really believe that. I really feel that, you know, our heart, it's not just a metaphor. It's not just the Anahata chakra. It's not just the biological pump that pumps our blood and gives a rhythm. The electromagnetically, the heart is believed to radiate even more energy than our brain, the heralded brain that we put on the pinnacle of that gives us our superiority. This is so we think. None of that in this show today. I'm just going to give thanks to everything and everybody, and I'm going to categorize a lot of things, and you can do the same yourself. You can make this an exercise in gratitude by every day when you get up, for example. You could just go, oh my God, I can't believe it. We've actually got another day, another whole day of my life that I can basically, within certain limits, I can do whatever I want. And we've still got air to breathe with plenty of oxygen, hopefully not too many chemicals wherever you are. We've got beautiful sunlight, especially if it's not cloudy and if it's daytime. We've got sunlight, we've got oxygen, we've got gravity keeping us from flying off into space. We've got these three things alone are absolutely essential for life, and they're a constant present, and they're free. We don't have to do anything for it. And there may be powers that be that think they're going to try to capitalize on these at some point, but at this point they haven't been able to, and so that alone is something to give thanks for. But if you wake up, like for example, today, I woke up this morning and it was freezing in the night, not freezing, probably down to about 4 or 5 degrees centigrade, but I'm sleeping in a beautiful tent that I'd like to be thankful for to my friends Joe and Roe for loaning it to me. to camp out. And it's not my tent, not my Trango 2 that served me so well for 13 years, which is a four-season mountain hardware tent that they took at Mount Everest. Mine is in storage down in Christchurch awaiting repair. But they loaned me this little tent. Now, this is the dead of winter here in New Zealand, but this is a summer tent. The sides are just screen. There's no actually way to close it up, and it's not very big, and luckily I brought plenty of blankets in my sleeping bag, so I was able to stay marginally warm enough to kind of go to sleep for a while. But I woke up this morning, stuck my head out of the tent, and I go, oh my god, yay! Teoa, the sun is shining down on the beach, even though I'm deep in the shade of Grandmother Pahutukawa tree. The sun was shining, and it's shining on me right this very minute, and I'm looking at these beautiful, beautiful, sparkly reflections of the sun on the ocean here between me and this little island, and then about 3 Ks out is Rakitu Island, or also known as Arid Island. I'm on Atia, Great Barrier Island, my very, very favorite place in the whole world. I'd like to also give thanks to my beautiful friends, John and Peggy Ann Garlick, who make my visit here possible every year since 2006. Their huge magnanimity and astronomical support and true, true, genuine friendship. And I'd like to thank Grandmother Pahutukawa. She's my favorite of all my tree friends on this planet. She's my very, very, very favorite because I've known her probably longer than any other tree that I am able to still go and see. And we come and see her regularly. Like, this is our second visit to Grandmother Pahutukawa on this visit since about a month ago. But she's a giant Pahutukawa tree that might be 1 or 2,000 years old. She's got a giant arm that curves around that is very much like she's putting her arm out and around to embrace whoever's here in the most ultimate little campsite. And the other, she has maybe a dozen other large limbs that sort of arch out and form this canopy in 360 degrees. But I'm leaning against her big main right arm now that encircles her bosom, in which we just camped out. And whenever I sleep here and wake up after being laying on the ground right next to Grandmother Pahutukawa for many, many, many hours, it just really does something to my whole spirit. It uplifts me and cleanses me, and it makes me realize how beautiful it is to be here now. And sometimes Grandmother Pahutukawa talks. Now, she doesn't really, English isn't her favorite way to communicate, but she can speak English. Grandmother Pahutukawa, how are you this morning?
Gladiops, I'm so good and so glad to have you and your creature family back here, the Kaitiakis. We wanted to thank you for coming, and I'm glad you were able to camp out and help you stay pretty warm.
Grandmother Pahutukawa, it is so lovely to talk with you, and this show won't be a full-on interview with you, which we'll come back and do next time. But I did want to ask you if you can tell me what are you thankful for?
Oh, Aviops, that's one of the biggest things that we as the Tree Kingdom do. We constantly give thanks to the Great Spirit, Wakantanka, and Mother Earth and Mother Nature, and the spirits of water-based life, and all the ancestors and everyone. We stand here basking in the sun by the day, in the rain and the snow and the cloud and the wind, and the stars at night and the moonlight and the galaxy and the Pleiades and all the planets, and we bask in all these energies, and our main thing that we spend our time doing is in fact giving thanks to everyone for everything, for being here now.
Oh my god, so that's the Grandmother Pahutukawa, you're saying that that's the primary thing that the Kingdom of Trees engages in, because our Western scientific mind thinks that trees stand there and they're basically not doing anything. They're not inanimate, but this is how a lot of people think of trees. They're of course they're alive, but are they conscious? No. Are they sentient? No. They can't even move. They don't have hands. They don't have eyes or ears. They don't think. They photosynthesize, and then other relatives in the plant kingdom grow and make food for us, and fruits and nuts and seeds and berries and grains and vegetables and cones and needles and all these kind of things, and phytochemicals and camphors and nectars and pollen and resin, and that's another thing I'd like to be thankful for. not only you, Grandmother Pahuta Cow, but all our other Pahuta Cow friends, Rachel Carson and Black Elk, they're at Arafaro, and the two Pahuta Cows at either end of the beach, and the ones at Okupu, and the ones up on Memory Island, and all the ones on the North Island, and all the other trees, the puris, and the knee cows, and the cabbage trees, and the pongas, and the tree ferns, and the harakete, the flax, and all the beautiful flowers, and all the kingdoms of the plants, the beautiful go-to colas, and my beautiful white sage, my salvia apiana, and my centella asiatica, and my beautiful lavender, the lavendula purpura from Tasmania, and my beautiful golden seal, and the heliconias from Hawaii, all the lobster claws, and all the rosemary, and the thyme, and the oregano, and all the beautiful flowers, and all the plants and vegetables that we eat, and all the beautiful veggies that I was able to make juice from, beetroot and carrot and celery and apple and ginger, beautiful organic apples, and all the beautiful lemons and tangelos and mandarins and grapefruits and Tahitian limes, all the beautiful citrus, and all the corn and all the potatoes and all the rice and all the lentils and all the oats and the oatmeal and the beautiful wheat and the honey that I sometimes occasionally put on a pancake and the bananas. And honey's not really it's kind of mainly in a plant product that's been processed by the little honeybees.
Wavy Ups, that is so beautiful of you to give thanks for the plant kingdom. We give thanks for everybody on behalf of all of life.
Grandmother Pudicala, that is so beautiful. So you answered a question I was going to ask you. What's it like being a tree? Because you don't move around. Like, I'm sort of required by the laws of nature to be constantly on the move, and that's why I'm so lucky to be here now, to be able to, I don't really have to stay in one place all the time. It's actually much more beautiful and powerful if you're able to go and come back to places that you know and love, and hopefully see how they're doing okay rather than changing for the worse. And I really want to apologize for how a lot of negative energy that I've experienced myself over the past few weeks, especially in Australia, dealing with a lot of the way things seem to be going there, and then some of the issues here on Aotea, a very beautiful sacred place, but I just don't see that many people treating it as if it is a sacred place. They're treating Great Barrier Island as if it's just another suburb of Auckland, whether it might be Titirangi or Birkenhead or Papatoetoe or Warkworth or Takapuna or wherever. It's, you know, but I want to give thanks for the beauty and power of being here now, for being able to come out here to this beautiful beach where Grandmother Pahuta Cow lives, and I'm here all by myself. Finally, I'm all by myself except for my family of creatures: Teddy, Wally, Ruby Ann, Big Teddy, Heidi, Phil, Huckabara, and Wally and Ruby Ann.
Oh, my family!
Wavy ups, the wicked to talk on the radio. We got to go surfing the other day in the ocean.
Oh, yes, I let the creatures go surfing in the ocean. Not very long, but it was a moment of sunshine, and then they had a nice warm bath, and so they're now, they're drying in the sun right now. They're almost dry from the bath I gave them about 3 days ago because it's been quite chilly. But to be able to come, you know, I would say, I've said many, many, many times to many people in many different situations that I think I'm the luckiest person on this planet. And I really think that that's true, despite the hardships and challenges and obstacles and difficulties and hurdles that I have to go through now and then. That's the price I pay for having moments of being extraordinarily rewarded and smiled upon by the Great Spirit and my guardian angels, who have to be the very, very best ones anyone could have. But for me to be here now, on this beautiful remote beach, with nobody else within several kilometers of here, probably, possibly one farmer that lives about 2 or 3 kilometers away, and I've got this whole beautiful beach all to myself. I was able to stand there and do my Qigong naked in the sunshine, and camp out here completely by myself in the most beautiful campsite anyone could ever hopefully never know about. And the sun is still shining, and it's not exactly warm. It's quite nice in the sunshine. I was sort of partially in the sun and partially in the shade now up beneath Grandmother Pudicala. But I want to thank all my friends, everyone who's might possibly be actually listening to this show, and everyone who reads my emails, my blog posts, and who cares about what I share, and who is actually my friend, people who actually know me, and who make me possible, who give me places to stay, who buy my art, who give me money, who give me food, who share their places with me and give me rides, and who try to be on their highest path in honor of the beauty and power of being here now. And for people who acknowledge my hard work and contribution. And I really want to thank everybody and all of life, Great Spirit, Mother Earth, all the Star Nations, our family of life, my Kaitiakis, all my beautiful friends, Etia, to Iki Amali, to Waipunamu, the Spirit of Tasmania, Australia, all my whale dreaming family, all the First Nations Australians, First Nations Americans, all the chakras in the body of the rainbow serpent, all the racial Carson of today, the chakras in the body of the rainbow serpent. I start with Uluru, Attila, and Katajuta in the central desert. Go down to Wilpena Pound in the Flinders Ranges in Arkarula, over around to the west across the Nullarbor to Albany, Denmark, Valley of the Giants, Dontrecasteaux National Park, Margaret River, up to Carrigeeny, Hammersley, Chichester Mill Stream, Python Pool, Burke Peninsula, Dampier Archipelago, up to Equestro and Punalulu, the Bungle Bungles, Guion Guion, the Kimberley Rock Art, Bradshaw Rock Art, Litchfield, Nipmuc, Kakadu, Melville Island, Garbanmung, over to Cape York, Wollumbin, Nimbingunungiri, Yunbanoon, Gari Stradbroke, the beautiful islands, Hinchinbrook Island and Magnetic Island, Uregir National Park, Bald Rock, Grandmother Dirawang, the Gowanna Ancestor Dreaming, Nora Head, Mount Yango, which I got to visit twice a few months ago, Booty National Park, the Biami Rock Dreaming Art, Sacred Art Site at Bulgandri, Wilson's Prom in Tasmania, Flinders Island, Old Man's Head, Mount Killiecrankie, Mount Strzelecki, Mount Monroe on Clark Island, Mount Cameron, East and West, Mount William, Cradle Mountain, Dove Lake, Grandmother Oak Tree at Sheffield, Kananyi or Mount Wellington, Mount Amos, Mount Anne, beautiful Spirit of Tasmania, Rangini on the island of Lombok, New Zealand, Rangitoto, Taranaki, Rupehi, Tongariro, Nara, Hoi, White Island, here on Atia, Grandmother Pudicala, Shakespeare, Ruahine, Arafaro, Totoko, Kahokura, Memory Island, Sugarloaf, Pito Kuku, Hirakamata, Te Ahamata, Rakitu, Karatanga, the Okiwi, Kakariki, Nimaton, Lake Wakiramuana, Taranaki, Kapiti Island, Marlborough Sounds, Golden Bay, Farawiki, Faripapa, Pupu Springs, Ward Beach, and my beautiful rocks, Grandmother Maratini, Grandmother Titaroa, Akaroa, Doubtful Sound, Rarotonga, Hawaiki, Mauna Loa, Mauna Kea, Mauna Iki, Mauna Ulu, Kilauea, Pu'uoa, Haleamau, Ma'u, Haleakala, Liwe, Huala Lai, Volcanoes, Rumble Seamount coming up there off of New Zealand, Aleutian Islands, Mount Hood, Mount Shasta, Mount Baker, Mount Logan, Mount St. Helens, Yellowstone, Yosemite, Kings Canyon, Sequoia, Joshua Tree, Big Sur, Oahu, Newell Woods, Point Reyes, Stimson Beach, Grand Canyon, Arches, Bryson, Zion, Canyon, Deschey, Mesa Verde, Chaco Canyon, Appalachian Mountains, Guatemala, Rucapian, Pucón in Chile, Torres del Paine, Siete Lagos in Argentina, Manu National Park in Peru, Bolivia, Ecuador, Galapagos, Iguazu Falls, Tepuis in Venezuela, Iceland, Norway, Madagascar, New Caledonia, Alaska, South Africa, Pangaea, Gondwana, all the chakras in the body of the rainbow serpent, all over Mother Earth, all of her sacred rocks and minerals and crystals, her precious substances, and all the star nations, all Teoa, sister and brother stars, Mirama, sister and brother moons, Mother Earth, sister and brother planets, all the star nations, all the star clusters and the galaxies and the comets and asteroids here during this beautiful inky window. We've got so much to be thankful for. I've got to be thankful for my beautiful drum, Io Paikia Sun Thunder, Kaka Tatanka Good Medicine Wave Dancer, my flute, Aihi Waniwa, Tui Ruru, Kutari Kaitiaki Magellanic Thunder Song, and my little beautiful white sage, and my beautiful shaker, and my beautiful drumstick, and my beautiful crystals, especially this big, beautiful crystal that Remy gave me in Adelaide, and my beautiful Nikon camera, and my lenses, and my video camera, and all my other cameras, and all my gear, my beautiful organic coffee, and all of my gear, my book by Edward Abbey that I'm reading. I was just able to sit here in the beautiful warm sunshine. It's kind of underneath Grandmother Polita Cow's limb, next to the beautiful sunshine on the ocean. I have my dal that I made, my very favorite dish to eat, and it was just so good, and I'm getting some warmth of the sun, but I'm still beneath the limbs of Grandmother Pudakawa. I'm looking out across the ocean to the north, and it was right out in there in 2015, not quite 4 years ago. I was standing on this very beach with a didgeridoo given to me by my friend Arpana, Dr. Didge Dolphin in Byron Bay, and I can't play it yet, although I was trying, but I made some sounds out of it because I saw these three dolphins out kind of in the distance, and I tried making some sounds to them, playing my flute and my drum and the didge, and I psychically asked if they would come over to Arafaro Bay or Medlands, where I actually live. Just, you know, doesn't hurt if you don't ask, you don't find out. And lo and behold, the very next day, there were some dolphins there. And in my mind, of course, they were the same ones. But anyway, that led to, they hung around for at least a week. And that led to some of the most powerful encounters with dolphins I've ever had. One day I was standing at almost the exact spot where Lisbon and I swam with some dolphins, where she first encountered them for the first time. I think it would have been in 2010, standing at that exact spot where then three dolphins came up to within about a meter from us and came and went two or three times over the next 45 minutes. And we felt simultaneously elated, but when we got out, we felt like a sense of warning or urgency had been imparted to us by the dolphins about some kind of planetary level catastrophe that was going to happen. And then in 2015, I'm standing at that exact spot playing my flute, and I see these dolphins kind of on the wave, all about 30 meters out, and all of a sudden two of them come right in on a wave, and they go either side of me. One is about a meter to my left, and another is about a meter to my right. And the one on my right, and this is water that's only knee deep, and the one on my right came in and swam back out, and the one on my left, which I feel like was a female dolphin, I can't just tell by looking at him, but I felt like it was a young female dolphin, and she came and she turned over and laid there and just looked up at me. The beautiful, I'll just never forget that image, the beautiful sunlight shining on her through the water, and she's just laying there in very shallow water just looking up at me. And she stayed there for like, 15, 20 seconds or more before she went back out. But I didn't try to touch her or anything, but oh my God, it was just such a beautiful, beautiful gift from them to come and see me like that. And then a couple of days later, I was out filming a bunch of dolphins sort of soar through the waves at breakneck speed. And I got out and went and was sitting at my painting desk, and then all of a sudden I received that image in my mind of what a comet or asteroid might look like as it's coming through the atmosphere just a split second before it hits. And I felt like that image was transmitted to me by the dolphins. But anyway, all of this began here at Haratonga, where I'm sitting right now, looking out at the exact stretch of ocean that I was looking at when I saw them. I'm hoping to see some now, although it's kind of hard because of the glare and the glittering of the sunlight on the ocean. But I'm getting ready to go swimming here in a minute. But I'm continuing my catalog of things I have to be thankful for. Really, I would say that a big part of my life is actually to go around and be thankful. I think that that might be part of our long-lost true nature as people. Not only to be the guardians and caretakers of our fellow life forms, and I won't call it our planet, of course. It's like saying this is our universe. It's the universe that we happen to live in. Or, you know, the universe is a conception that we give to something infinitely vaster than us. So in a sense, everything is ours because it's our perception that we really know more than we know the thing itself that would exist even if we weren't here. So that's kind of one of the paradoxical mysteries of being here now. In a sense, everything is ours, but only in that psychological sense. And in another sense, nothing is ours because we didn't create any of this. We don't own it, regardless of our mental operating environment of today. I really think that if we went around being thankful, if we made a conscious effort to be thankful all the time, I mean, it's hard to be thankful in the face of, you know, watching something really bad happen, like a car accident or something like that. Like here on Great Barrier Island is where I've had the closest thing that ever happened to me that I could have been killed when I was in a bicycle accident here in November of 2015 and came off and had 3 fractured vertebrae in my neck. I could have easily have been killed or permanently paralyzed, but no, I came through it very, very well with shining colors thanks to my beautiful guardian angels and the beautiful help from my friends and people who watched over me, like Jade Webster and Peggy and Garlic, who went to the hospital with me, and all the people at the spinal unit and at Middlemore and at for ACC with all the beautiful help they've given me that continues to this day. And it's hard to say that I'm thankful that that happened, but I'm thankful that given that it had to happen, or that it did, that it turned out the way it did. And I've been back to like 98% of my full physical robustness ever since. Whereas a friend of mine in France, he had a similar accident, but less severe. He was going at a slower speed, not going so fast. But he came off and landed on his helmet just like I did. But his spine was severed. He's permanently paralyzed, barring some kind of bionic operation that can, you know, cause his spine to regrow or give him reuse of his body. But, you know, so what I'm trying to work on is regaining that last 1 or 2% that'll give me my full leg strength back, my full balance, so I can carry my full weight of gear up mountains like Mount Tutorella down at Fiordland, the most awesome wilderness adventure that I climbed with Lisbeth 3 times, and I've always wanted to go back. To be able to carry all my photographic gear across the lava fields of Volcanoes National Park, to do some beautiful time-lapse photography there in honor of Sean King. I'm so thankful for my whole life to have seen the things I've seen and the things I'm seeing right now, to be witness to the stars and to have been gifted with intelligence, if I might be so bold as to apply that to myself. You can't go, regardless of things that people say about you, especially if they're nice, people, and it's not like me to do it. I don't go around talking about how smart I am or how creative I am or anything. You know, people tell me that all the time. But I take it with a grain of salt and I thank them. But I go like, you know, I think everybody is far more intelligent and creative than they give themselves credit for. They just don't acknowledge or honor or try to put to use these abilities. But I'm thankful for the abilities, the immense creativity that I've been given by the universe, by the Great Spirit, and I try to use it in the highest possible way. I guess I could say that I can't say I'm thankful. I'm thankful to this couple in Tasmania, whose name I won't mention right now, but about 4 years ago, mainly the woman, got to know me because I was hanging out with my friend Rob Alliston, who had Parkinson's disease. He was in and out of the hospital, and I hung around there to make sure he was okay when he got out of the hospital. And during that time, I got sort of taken under the wing by the art crowd in Sheffield, Tasmania, and got invited to do this art project. But then they changed their mind about using what I did at the last minute, even though I had expressly asked for them to make sure that that wasn't going to happen. Anyway, it really upset me because of all the time I had gone to in the work, and I told them what I thought. I didn't just take it laying down. I told them how full of shit they were, and they were. I mean, you know, I was not being off base by saying any of this stuff. During this same period of time, this woman had got to know me and told me all this different kind of stuff about her history of mental illness, including being in a hospital for the criminally insane, and her husband had also been in a hospital mental institution for many, many years because he thought he was Jesus and walked around with robes on, had followings and all this stuff. And anyway, but she, after getting to know me for about a month, she one day told me that she and her husband, from the money that they make, which was a lot, that they like to give grants to people that were doing worthy environmental causes and stuff. And she asked me if I thought that a gift of a few thousand dollars would help what I'm doing. And I go, well, of course, that would probably help at the tangible level more than anything else anybody could do. So she worked all that out. She approached me, got her husband to go along with it, and they ended up giving me a few thousand dollars. Which, you know, I was beginning to work on what at that time was going to be a film that Lisbon and I had started on, and I was planning to work on that as a way of one of the primary ways that I saw is conveying information about who the whales and dolphins actually are and what the real global threats to them are. Been working really on this work since 1980. It's like the single biggest project that I work on, my activism with the whales and dolphins. So anyway, they gave me the money to help all the different projects and activism that I was doing, and I told them I was probably going to use a good bit of it on some technology that I really needed. But anyway, it was a grant. It was a gift with no strings attached, no conditions or anything. So anyway, I left and went to Sydney and got some computer gear. And then all of a sudden I started getting messages from this bloke telling me he wanted the money back. And I was blown away because I couldn't understand any reason why, except that he was probably pissed off because of the people in Sheffield there who I told were full of shit. And that you can't just change your mind after you've given someone a grant. And so I just basically couldn't deal with him anymore, because I hadn't violated anything. I was doing exactly what I said I was going to do, and I continued on my path. So anyway, these people, I found out later, started putting up all this incredibly psychotic, malicious bullshit about me on their website. And there's a couple of items. I've only looked at it maybe three or four times because to me it's just a complete waste of time. To me, it's very, very sad and scary that these people have gone to such great lengths to malign me out of pure malice and making up all this hallucinatory stuff that it's got maybe 10% truth in there and 90% is just complete bullshit. But why bother to put all that about me on there? They themselves said they didn't want anything to do with me anymore. And I go, but look, all I'm doing is what I set out to do anyway. And just because I haven't finished a single huge film, it's morphed into a project of several films that will eventually get made, but really that has nothing to do with them. Anyway, I'm just sort of telling this little story here that it's something that I find it hard to be thankful for. I'm very, very thankful for the help they gave me of that money, but I'm not thankful for how they're acting now. But the bottom line is, I must be thankful for the opportunity to exercise the restraint that I've exerted out of compassion for them, knowing that they're both not compos mentis people. They're both people that lived years, if not decades, of their adult life in serious mental institutions, including for the criminally insane. And so for this kind of behavior to come out of people like that, it's really not unexpected. You know, so this is probably, I've just mentioned two things that that it would be hard to actually find yourself being thankful for, but yet I found a way to be thankful for the opportunity to try to take my physical mastery of my body to the next level, and an opportunity to exercise and demonstrate compassion towards my fellow beings and people that did mean well in the beginning, or at least they pretended to, and regardless of malice and other bullshit that's happened because of this, people just, you know, it's hard to be thankful for people that'll just believe bullshit about anybody or anything and then act on it without even trying to verify if it's true or not. You know, the people are just so ready and willing to demonize the messenger if they don't like the message. But other than that, I can only be thankful for the myriad miracles that make me possible, that my beautiful guardian angels have constantly manifested and taken care of me in all my travels all over the USA and Canada, all the 150,000 miles I successfully hitchhiked there from 1981 to 1999, and all the beautiful support for my art and all the beautiful places I've been able to go, and then being invited to come down under in the year 2000, and all the next level miraculous beautiful adventures I've been on ever since coming down to Australia and New Zealand. And oh my God, it's like, but my whole life seems to exist to honor the glory of the Great Spirit and to the beauty and power of being here now, and to give thanks through my art, through my rock painting and my flute playing, my guitar and my piano and my photography, my filmmaking, my honoring of the beauty of nature and looking at the stars and trying to figure out ways to help my species stop waging war on Mother Earth, and to honor the beauty and power of being here now and just take in the amazingness of being here. That's a big part of what I'm all about, and all the activism and the heavy stuff I talk about is just because I feel it's so essential for us to be aware that we're a part of that. There is no evil bastard or organization to blame. It's us. It's an us. It's humanity, man the wise. So I feel very called on my life and on a spiritual mission that I've always been on. And I've never been content to just sit back and look out for number one. I feel like I really do live on the brink, on the edge, because it's really the only place that you can be truly alive, when you can look over the edge and look over the horizon in space and time and consciousness and try to make sense out of what it means to be here now. But I really am thankful for all the indigenous people of the land and the sea, the indigenous Australians and Native Americans whose consciousness and energy is so much a part of my life, the consciousness and spirit of the whales and dolphins, and the spirit of Mother Ocean, and the spirit of water-based life, and all the star nations, and all the Rachel's Carson of today, and all the beautiful, sacred, powerful places that I'm able to go and visit, like where I am right now. Now I'm going to walk around, I'm going to walk down to the ocean here and continue my praise of Mother Earth. Now I'm right down by the ocean water where I go swimming here. It's high tide and I can't really get around to my other little beach, but this is still really, really nice. But I'm just the luckiest person in the world to be able to be here now on this beautiful beach. There's no other people. There's no boats. I've only heard two planes in the past 18 hours since I've been here. As long as I can come here or places like this and renew my soul periodically, I think I'll be able to handle for the rest of my life, even if I have to expend energy dealing with overt human destructiveness like noise, the specific things that we're that I'm trying to get on the radar of the people here on Aotea to protect her against the intrusion of industrial tourism, unnecessary construction, noise from like construction and planes, the dredging operation where they're dumping all this stuff just of 20 or 30 kilometers east of where I am right now, and the poison that they're starting to use on dropping out on Rakitu Island, which I'm looking at right now, 3 kilometers away. They've poisoned it with prodificum twice in the past 6 months. So New Zealand is very much obsessed with poisoning its entire biosphere. But that's stuff I've talked about in other shows. This show, now that's another thing. I can't say that I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for my awareness of it, and I'm thankful for all the activists and people who've educated themselves and who care and aren't afraid to speak out to try to create awareness about this really diabolically gruesome scenario. But that's just one of many, many, many things that my species is doing on this planet. I'm thankful that we exist, and I'm eternally grateful to the Great Spirit for the gift of life and Mother Earth and the consciousness of DNA and RNA for making us and all life forms possible. But on the same note, I apologize for my species, and of course I'm a part of it. I've done my part. I've burned hydrocarbons. I've consumed plastic. I've eaten meat part of my life. I've used electricity, and I've done my part, but I've tried to keep my contribution to the destructive part as absolutely as minimal as possible. I've been able to do without having my own house, and my life is only possible because nice people give me a place to stay, but I've been able to do without my own, and I've been able to do without a lot of stuff that modern man seems obsessed with having, not just what they need, but many, many times over, like multiple homes and vehicles and all different kind of stuff like that. It's just overkill. So if we were able to re-invoke our cybernetic guidance principle and regain a sense of self-regulation, we'd be able to renavigate, but it just looks like we're doing exactly the opposite of that. So I can't say that I'm thankful for all the destructiveness that my species engaged in, but I am thankful for my awareness of it and for my willingness and ability to try to attenuate my own contribution, as well as helping other people to try to do the same. And I'm thankful for some of the amazing synchronicities in my life, like the cosmic event when I was 12 that put me in touch with the stars, all my beautiful encounters with the dolphins and whales, and those most intense interactions with dolphins have been here on Aotea. My hitchhiking experience in Tasmania, where this bloke stole all my gear, but a week later I had it all back. Thanks to all the beautiful people that made that possible. Thanks to everybody that's got me through my bicycle accident and continues to support me with my art and music and filmmaking and places to stay and my activism and by trying to live in the true spirit of community and sharing. But ultimately, I'm thankful for Mother Earth and the beauty, all the different life forms and just the patterns of nature. Like, I can stand here and watch the ocean all day long and feel this beautiful warmth of the sun on my face, feel the beautiful chill of what it's going to feel like when I jump in the ocean here in a little bit, the soreness in my legs and my back from carrying my backpack yesterday that probably weighs, well, with all the water I brought, it probably weighed 32, 35 kilograms. It's less now. but gradually trying to get back in shape to carry all my gear up Mount Titiroa, across the lava fields and Big Island of Hawaii. It's also possible to share gratitude and thanks without speaking. A lot of my music is offered in a sense of thanks and gratitude to the universe and to honor the things that I play music about. For example, on my first CD of Grand Piano Improvisations, songs in honor of trees, rocks, tornadoes, water, stars. So I guess I'll shut up now and let the rest of this show be expressions of my nonverbal gratitude through sound. The song of birds and the whales and dolphins and the sound of water, some thunder and lightning, insects, the symphony, the language of our fellow beings who, in their own way, may be glorifying the Great Spirit. If we could understand exactly what they were saying and what they meant, what if that was the main motivation behind why birds sing, why insects make their sounds, why whales and dolphins sing their songs and make their sounds? And surely Western science says, oh, it's just looking for mates or expressing a territorial imperative. But it's possible that they might be offering glory and praise and thanks to Wakantanka, to the Great Spirit, for being here now. Just like we have the ability to do. That may be one of our very highest callings, one of the best things we can do to try to regain the true path of the Great Spirit and to try to mend our ways, not that we'll prevent the day of purification, but that we might lessen its severity. We could be thankful for the gift of life and thankful for the opportunity to be thankful. Thankful for the opportunity to do our best to help the purification be less intense on behalf of all the fellow life forms whose lives and well-being might be nurtured and spared. Thank you to all my beautiful friends for making me possible. Thank you, Mother Earth, Great Spirit Wakantanka, all beings of love and truth and beauty. This is Jeff Phillips, Weferson, son of Wefiops, signing off from here. Very close to the bosom of Grandmother Pudakala, here on beautiful Atia, Gondwana, Mother Earth, Milky Way galaxy. And I give thanks for the beautiful infinite expanse of eternity in every direction, within and without. And I'd really like to give enormous thanks to my mom and dad, Mimi and Peepaw. My mom's birthday is coming up in a couple of weeks. They were the best parents anybody could ever possibly have. And I'd like to give thanks to all my ancestors, my grandmothers and grandfathers, my mom's family who came from Germany, my dad's family from Scotland, all my ancestors that go back to Alexander the Great's dad, Philippos of Macedonia, all my ancestors of Homo sapiens and all the kingdoms of life. I'd like to really give thanks for the beautiful indigenous people of Australia, the First Nations Australians with whom I have very extraordinarily powerful, deep love and respect and connection, the Native Americans, and I'd like to give thanks to the beautiful spirit of Rachel Carson, my probably very favorite of human beings. Her gifts, her legacy, her message, her warning, her information, her story, her beautiful books and writing and information about the dangers of industrial civilization and the beauty and the awe and the enchantment a sense of wonder of being here now, especially near the ocean as I am right now. I was able to sleep where my campsite is. It's the closest I've ever camped out to the ocean. At high tide, the surf was coming in probably no more than probably 15 or 20 meters from where my tent is, except for I'm safe because I'm pretty up high on a dune beneath a tree. So, but it comes really close. It was quite loud all through the night. Anyway, I'd like to give thanks for the opportunity to give thanks. The beauty of the star nations and the wonder of creation, the infinite awe and mystery of the universe, that we're very blessed and lucky to find ourselves living within. May we all find our highest path and return to the true path of the Great Spirit and walk with our hearts in gratitude so that we'll be a magnet for miracles.
This is Ozzy Skateboard, and you're listening to UCY.TV.